Hello, everybody. This is Alejandro. I am your news co-host for the news segment. Today, I'm leaving for Mexico City, and I've never been. I've always wanted to travel around, but as I've mentioned in previous episodes, I was undocumented for 19 years, so I haven't quite had the opportunity to do so. This opportunity is presenting itself now through my job. I'll be presenting at a conference as well as participating in a leadership institute with several of our students. And so I'm really excited, but I'm also really nervous. I'll be keeping an audio journal of my experience, and we'll see how this goes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to UndocuTalks, the podcast by undocumented youth for undocumented youth, talking about education, news, and culture. Today's episode is episode number 5, our last episode of season 1. We're going to be taking lots of journeys through today's episode. You listen to Alejandro Mendiaz, who is a contributor to our news segment for the introduction of the show. He took a trip to Mexico for the very first time after being undocumented for many years in this country. So he will be coming in and out of today's show while we listen to our contributors of the show and talking about some of the highlights, some of the key moments in the first season, and we talk about what's coming up in season number 2.
I had the opportunity to present at an intercultural conference in the city of Pachuca, Hidalgo. It was hosted at the Autonomous University of the State of Hidalgo, and it was really an opportunity for celebrating indigenous research and indigenous cultures, and the theme happened to revolve around migration and borders. So I presented a little bit about my work of what I do at the University of New Mexico in terms of serving Latino students, in terms of serving immigrant students, and how we help mitigate some of the injustices and some of the gaps that exist really in helping serve our undocumented students at the University of New Mexico. It was really special. Cindy Nava, our co-host for the new segment, was also there. She also got to do a presentation, but we both had rather an emotional moment because ever since we first met back in 2012, we really clicked, and we always talked about when we would no longer be undocumented, and we always talked about when we would get to travel and present and really reach out to a broader audience. But I think in the back of our minds, we were never sure when that day would come or if that day would come. We both grew up undocumented. We both grew up feeling that limitation of having a very narrow scope in which we could do the things that we do. And so to be in Pachuca and to be presenting and to be here as professionals, really talking about the work that we do, was a big moment for us. And what an opportunity, and you know, what a coincidence that we were both invited to the same conference and that we both got to talk about the things that we care about. I really am glad that we got this opportunity, and I really think that this is the beginning of us being able to broaden the scope of our work and bringing our message to different communities.
That was Alejandro that we listened to live through an audio diary that he composed in his travels to Mexico. We will keep hearing from Alejandro in his travels throughout the show, but now we're going to go ahead and jump into Norma, who's going to talk to us about her experience in the podcast for season 1 and moving on to season number 2. Hi, Norma. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Relatively good. That's kind of what I say now.
You know, you've been with us in the podcast for a cool minute now, and you know, you've definitely added a great segment to our podcast, our mental health segment. And, you know, now that we're reflecting back on this first season, as we're looking forward to recording season 2 for the fall, what has been the most memorable moment or moments in our recording of the podcast, or in general in the podcast, if you will?
I think because of our dynamic, it has just been the growth aspect of creating my own content. I remember just the first recording that we had, it was kind of funky, you know. I think it's noticeable too if you listen to the podcast. And then it just, the content, I think, has gotten better and the ideas for it. And I like the creativity and the openness to working together.
Many of us are students and, you know, many of us are in higher education. So how is this spring semester, or, you know, can you tell us where you're at in terms of your studies and kind of how that whole experience has been for you in this particular quarter and moment for you?
In California, the majority of the schools actually go by a quarter system. And the quarter system, it kills you. But it's been, and I'm in my third year, finishing up my third year with my program, the doctorate in clinical psychology. And I've had to make changes throughout the year to make sure that I don't burn out, like taking less classes and changing up my rhythms a bit. So I've been doing that this quarter, working on that. And also as a result of, you know, our status and all of that, being involved with the lawsuit, there was the hearing that happened last Tuesday. And so all of those things happened within the quarter for me. And so then right now I'm just in my last couple of weeks to finish classwork.
I could honestly say that your segment has been helpful and for myself. You remember in the first episode, and this was before you came on board, mm-hmm. on the second episode, we started a concept, Treat Yourself, and you have given us quite a few suggestions on different ways that we could cope with our stress and our mental health. What are some of the things, maybe with all those stress and all the activeness that you've been doing this quarter and this particular time and moment for you?
Yeah, so this actually fits pretty well with what I wanted to share today. I've gotten better at saying no. Just saying no to things that would be additional work that are not necessarily necessary, I guess, if I want to be redundant that way. When I say no to things, it's so that I can allow space for myself to do the work that I am supposed to do it well, give it the time that it needs and all of that without sacrificing my sleep or my rest or those kinds of things. So that, I think, has been the biggest thing that I've done for myself.
What are some of the future hopes? We're finishing or we're wrapping up season one with this month's episode. What are some of the things that you're looking forward to in season two?
I would really like to have more of like an interaction with the audience. Just that piece. I don't know how that would look like, but I would love to hear feedback and to see kind of how the things that we are talking about are either adding to the conversation or what could we improve on, those types of things. That's really what I would hope for. And then also in terms of just building relationship with everyone in this collaborative.
If you're interested in interacting with us, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter on our handles on DocuTalks, and let us know what you think about the show so far. Ser un emigrante, ese es mi deporte. Hoy me voy pa'l norte sin pasaporte, sin transporte. A pie con las patas, pero no importa. Este hombre se hidrata con lo que retratan mis pupilas. Cargo con un par de paisajes en mi mochila. Cargo con vitamina de clorofila. Cargo con un rosario que me vigila. We just listened to Norma, who's a contributor to UndocuTalks from Southern California. And now we're going to go ahead and travel back to Mexico City, where Alejandro recorded his audio diary.
A large part of the Summer Leadership Institute that I'm participating in here in Mexico includes visiting pre-Hispanic or pre-Columbian ruins. And I've had the privilege of visiting stuff like the ruins of El Templo Mayor in Mexico City. We went to the pyramids of the sun and the moon in Teotihuacan. I got to see the Atlantis in Tula. And then we went down a little bit. I got to see the ruins of this beautiful and large ancient city called Xochicalco, which means the city of flowers. And then I also got to climb way too many steps, and I got to see an observatory in Tepoztlán. It was a beautiful temple. It was definitely worth the very, very long hike. And then I also got to see where they used to train some of the warriors of the Mexica Empire in a place called Malinalco. Seeing these ruins, and I think especially the great city of Xochicalco, and climbing the Pyramid of the Sun in Teotihuacan, gave me a beautiful perspective of what we miss growing up in the United States without being able to leave. It both filled my heart with joy and with sadness, and I had so many mixed emotions sitting there on the side of the pyramids and looking over those cities, because I understood at that moment how great of a people we are descended from. All of us were from Latin America. And it really helped me understand why Europeans try to paint our ancestors as savages and as barbarians. And I think that being there in those ruins and being there in those cities, you know, it led me to understand that they were jealous of what these people had. I'm sitting here in ruins that are far greater than I could have ever imagined, that hold so much power and so much might and so much beauty. And I think that the Spanish conquistadores must have been jealous and must have been in awe and didn't want people to realize that they were taking down a civilization that was very accomplished and that had done a lot of beautiful things. And it's just breathtaking. And like I said, it makes me sad that I hadn't had the opportunity to be here before. And there are countless others that don't have the opportunity to be here right now and to climb these pyramids and to sit on the edge and just meditate and realize what a small part of the universe we are. And as you know, as we grow up in the United States, I think of this song by Los Tigres del Norte. That calls the United States a golden cage, or, you know, a cage made out of gold. Even though it's beautiful, it's still a cage. And yeah, there are beautiful things to see in the United States. There are beautiful cities. There's a lot of remnants also of ancient civilizations, particularly in my home state of New Mexico. But, you know, this is something else, and the world is really big, and this is just a tiny chunk of it. And, you know, we're just a fleck of dust in it all. And what a privilege to be able to sit here and see the dedication that these people had and these great monuments that they built.
Freedom, I don't need them. Where's your freedom? This one needs a brand new freedom. Weed and the key them to life. Let's beat them. Weed them smartphones, don't beat them.
You are listening to UndocuTalks, the podcast by immigrant youth for immigrant youth, talking about education, news, and culture. We have just listened to Alejandro Mendiaz's journey through Mexico. Now we're going to go ahead and travel back to the United States, where we're going to listen to our education segment by Nancy Canales and Frank Berlanga Medina. So we're traveling to New Mexico and Arkansas, where you're going to listen to our education segment talk about the reflections on season number one and moving forward to season number two.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nancy Canales. I am an undergraduate student here at the University of New Mexico. I will be graduating later this fall. I am a part of this UndocuTalks podcast, and I contribute to the education segment, and I work alongside Rafael and Frank.
Do you mind sharing what has been the most memorable moments or moment of the season's podcast?
I think the most memorable or the most exciting was like midway the third episode, because you can tell that we were getting so comfortable with talking and hearing our own voices, and it became so much easier to talk to each other.
It's always weird listening to yourself for the first time, no?
Yeah, I think I was thinking to myself like, wow, do I really sound like that all the time? You know?
How did you overcome that?
I think being around everyone and seeing how comfortable Cindy and you were, Rafael, it was like, wow, I want to sound that good.
I think you sound better than most of us.
Thank you.
I'm Frank Berlanga Medina, MA in History at the University of Arkansas, Fayetteville, and I am a contributor to the educational sector for the UndocuTalks podcast.
Where are you located, Frank?
I'm located in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Area code 479, so I come to you live from the 479. just getting started is actually a memorable moment for me. I know we're just in, what, 5 episodes?
Yeah, this is
our fifth. We're not that episode. Old of a podcast. We're still kind of young. We're still kind of getting our feet wet and to figure out how to do this thing. Actually getting started, conceiving of like the ideas and talking, having that back and forth with you about what that would look like, you know, as the collective members started to join to how they would contribute to the podcast. That's been a memorable moment for me.
How was this semester for you?
After 4 years of kind of scratching and doing a lot of nail biting and a lot of procrastination on my part, to be honest, a lot of dragging of the politics, I've, you know, finally gotten to a point where I can defend my thesis. I defend in June. So for all intents and purposes, I'm done with the thesis. I will have that master's degree. You know, I recently had a child. He turned 1 in April, so this semester has kind of been been pretty busy along, you know, working as an instructional assistant at libraries in 2 junior highs here in the local area. It's kept me pretty busy, so the semester's been pretty busy. It's been pretty daunting, kind of learning a lot, you know, on the fly about being a parent, about being a partner, about being an educated Latino in this world. So kind of trying to connect and bridge 2 or 3 worlds or communities at the same time and seeing how those intersect, you know, with my own personal being. It's been a rough road. It's been trying at times, but it's definitely been rewarding when I see myself there almost at the finish line.
Personally, it was a challenge. I decided to leave midway this semester, even though I was going to graduate in May. And although I knew what was going to happen, and I decided to do it anyway because I knew it was something I needed to do for myself and my personal growth and my mental health. So I'm really happy I did it, and I'm ready to knock out this last semester.
In the first episode, we talked about the concept of treat yourself. How did you treat yourself or not this semester?
I think, like I said, I needed personal growth, and I've been doing really good with taking walks and being outside and enjoying nature. And I mainly do it with my dogs, and I think that they think that I'm doing it for them. But, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like I need the exercise, and why not, right? So that's what I've been doing.
What kind of dogs do you have? Tell us a little bit about them.
I have 2 miniature Australian Shepherds. They're both 35-pound dogs. One is a female, and her name is Mavi. She is white and black and has beautiful blue eyes. And my other one is Turkey, and he's still a little puppy. And he's brown and super fluffy, and he acts like a goat. And it's pretty awesome to watch.
I think it's very important, as this enormous segment has grown to show, is that as the work that we do, whether it be at the activist level, at the organizational level, at simply just the education level, or at the scholar level, it's important to detach. It's important to be aware of what things are creating obstacles for you, and what things are creating you, you know, stress, what's providing some mental distress or some physical distress, whatever it may be, to learn to identify those, to learn to have pretty methodical activities or non-activities, actually. I like to play music. I like to listen to music. So as I mentioned before, my son has recently turned 1, and so his motor skills are a lot better. So he's got a couple of, you know, toddler instruments that we're kind of playing around with, and just being able to spend some time with him, spend some time with my wife. Been learning a lot about how to be a father and educator and a partner. Learning how to also take care of myself has been something I've had to learn on the fly.
What are some of the future hopes for season 2 next semester?
I don't know if it's so much hopes, but I'm looking forward to interviewing a lot of people. I know that this semester was great and we had some amazing people talk with us, and I just hope that the next season it's even better and we get to meet all of these amazing people.
Recently we had 3 members join up, so I'm really looking forward to what they bring, what perspectives they bring, what ideas they bring for the podcast. I myself have a couple of ideas percolating for a couple of episodes that we could potentially be doing for season 2, and just being able to grow within the podcast, and also personally, just being able to learn from this experience of producing a podcast, of putting something out there that's connecting with the audience, and being able to communicate through the podcast and having it kind of serve as a platform like when we first started talking about it. I'm really looking forward to that and to seeing what everybody else is bringing to the table and seeing what we can go from there.
We just listened to the conversation that the education segment that included Nancy Canales, Frank Berlanga Medina, Rafael Martinez, and Froilan Orozco. And from New Mexico and Arkansas, we take a trip back to Diary Audio by Alejandro Mendiaz, where he's going to talk to us about his experience in Mexico City.
I'm in Mexico City and my trip is coming to a close. This has been a fantastic opportunity that was provided to me. I don't think I ever dreamt that I would see so much of Mexico. I definitely wanted to see Mexico City. I definitely wanted to be in the surrounding area, but I'm just marveled by the archaeological sites, by the culture, by the people, by the food. Those of you that know me or have listened in the past know that I really like food, and it's something else here. The hospitality is really great. It's just a different lifestyle. People just go to the plazas and hang out on evenings and the weekends. They relax. They spend time with family. You know, they just live life. And I think that's something that we take for granted in the U.S. At least most of us do. I don't think we get as much time to really reflect and to be ourselves and to be introspective. And I think that's something that's needed. I think that's something that we are missing and something that I discovered or rediscovered here. I think it goes back to really, you know, your health, not your just your physical health, but also like your mental health and your state of being. It's very important, and it's a very important cultural part. It's interesting to see what our parents left behind in order to give us a better opportunity. These beautiful people, this beautiful scenery, this rich culture, you know, it was all left so that we may have better opportunities than them, because it's easy to romanticize Mexico when you're here, but let's not forget that, you know, this land doesn't create the same opportunities for everyone.
And from Mexico City and Alejandro Mendiaz, we go back to the United States in Sacramento, California, where Julio Molina is at, and Rosie in Texas, who compose our creative segment. This is a brand new segment to our podcast. They will be doing some creative poetry, among other works, that they're going to be adding for Artful Taste to our podcast. You are joining our podcast, and we've actually had the pleasure of listening to your beautiful voice and to your beautiful poetry that we've played on some of the podcasts, but this is the first time that you're actually joining on the podcast, and of course, you'll be joining us for episode 2 that's forthcoming. Can you please introduce yourself?
I am DACA. I came into the U.S. when I was 13 years old, and since then, I have dedicated myself to education and writing poetry. I write poetry actually since I was 13 years old when I came to the U.S. as a type of release from everything that I was going through as a teenager. And it really helped me get all my emotions together and give me a sense of belonging. Even though everything in this country was so strange, I felt like I belonged somewhere when I would write. So to me, it has been a refuge. And I mean, I've said it many times, that I think that poetry has saved my life. Within education, I recently graduated. I have a PhD in linguistics now.
Felicidades.
Yes. I really enjoy the fact that I'm able to contribute to society in this way, which to me, that's what I am doing. Within my community, I have been very active with different groups, socially active with different groups. I do have a nonprofit organization, which is the Latin American Foundation for the Arts. And I have a publishing company where we publish culturally relevant books accessible for our community. And I also organize a poetry festival, which is Festival Internacional de Poesía Latinoamericana. And it's a multidisciplinary festival because we have poetry, music, theater, and theater. Yeah, and arts, of course, and arts.
My name is Julio Molina. I'm over here in Sacramento, California, one of the spoken poets for Undaku Talks.
I should say that one of the ways that you and I were able to connect was through Facebook or through social media, which was really powerful because, you know, when I saw your poetry, it automatically inspired me. But more importantly, after seeing your poetry and, you know, checking out some of your work, to also interact with you on Facebook and see your post about the different work that you're doing, you know, in the school systems and the education system, on the political level, on the community level. I mean, I was really, to be honest with you, I was inspired to see all the work that you're doing. And, you know, that's what we're trying to do with UndocuTalks is link up folks who are doing all kinds of different work and not prioritize saying, oh, we're just, you know, and the undocumented people, we're just organizers, we're just academics, we're just educators. We're all walks of life. That's what we want to show in our podcast.
We have these morals because of our parents, because our parents are street vendors, because our parents are construction workers, work in hospitality, housekeepers, cocineras, you know, people who work in the kitchen.
So I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how you decided to get involved with UndocuTalks, if there was, you know, maybe an episode that you listened to that caught your attention, and, you know, why did you decide to be part of the podcast?
Yeah, actually, I'm good friends with Cindy Nava, and she had shared UndocuTalks on her personal Facebook page. And I mean, I listened to the first one and I was just, you know, like very proud to see the work that she was doing. So when she gave me a call and asking if I would be interested, I was like, that is not even a question. I mean, of course, I would love to be, you know, part of this group of people that are educating our community and that are giving us a sense of what's really happening in terms that we can understand.
We got season 2 coming up in August. What are some of the things that you're looking forward to in a new season with UndocuTalk?
Within the podcast, I have really enjoyed the psychological aspects of exploring our emotions and the things that we're going through. I really enjoyed when you talked about how we need to externalize the ways that we're feeling so that our brain could understand what we're feeling. So I think that mental health within our community is very important. So I am really looking forward to how that is going to expand in this podcast. Within my contribution, I think that I really want to give a sense of how beneficial it is for us to communicate our feelings and our emotions and everything that we're going through poetry. And at the same way, leaving a historic imprint of the times that we're living right now.
I think it's going to be an interesting season. Really looking forward to what community organizers have today, what artists have to say, what are they doing, you know, how are they involved, are they not involved, you know, and so some of the things that we're going to hear and some of the things that we may or may not agree with. And
I wake up, it's early, my vision is still blurry. Me dice que me apure so we can make it on time. 3 de la mañana, it's an early shift. 5 hours before first period, damn, but class was the last thing on my mind. Besides, this educational system wasn't made for hermanos with backgrounds like me. I grew up in the ghetto where, statistically speaking, I'm gonna be another statistic lost in the street. My highest aspiration was to get a full-time jale, chale, not to climb the corporate ladder, but to pay for my rent, gas, electricity, and my car. The white elites exploit me while their poor allies accuse me of taking. Shit, I don't want this backbreaking work, but we weren't the ones who wound up on screens. We're the ones who wound up behind bars. And what do you expect? There's no clear path, and nobody told me I can go to college and be successful, at least no one that looked like me. And then she reached out, my brown-skinned sister, and said, look, you have the tool to be anything that you want to be. So I enrolled in community college and got exposed to a world filled with knowledge that I didn't know. I learned that my brown skin was the tool tool that I needed to help me grow, and the work ethic I so badly wanted to ignore. I'm sorry, mi rey, mi reina. I should have been more grateful for the wings you attached to my back to help me soar. Mis mariposas bellas flying across mountains, deserts, and rivers, guided by a blind dream. You put your life at risk so your seed could grow. So the last thing I can do is put my life in the front row and fight for a neck that's clean. I'm sorry that the nation's insecurity has turned into hatred for those who seek asylum from lands that their country invaded. And I'm sorry they ignored you. They crushed your American dream. They forced you to give us the heartbreaking response that you're happy without freedom, just as long as I'm free.
Thank you for listening to UndocuTalks. We really appreciate that you take your time to listen to our stories, to listen to our points of view, to listen to the different things that we have to share with our community. I think that as I sit here in Mexico City, one of the most important things that I can share with you is not to lose your culture, not to lose touch with who you are and where you come from. I know that it might seem hopeless, like Congress is never going to move, like this president doesn't want to do anything for our community, but things change in the blink of an eye. Had you told me a year ago that I would be sitting here in Mexico, I would have laughed and I would have said, yeah, right. And yet here I am, and I've rediscovered where I come from. I've rediscovered who my people are, and my people are beautiful, and my culture is beautiful. And I don't think we should let a president or any politicians or anybody really tell us otherwise. I think it's important for us to decide for ourselves. We know who we are. We know why we're in the U.S. We know where our true home is. And, you know, we have to just keep working, and we have to keep showing that we are good people, and we have to keep fighting for what's right, whether it be in higher education, whether it be in the immigrant rights movement, wherever we may be. We have to keep working. We have to keep fighting, because we are a strong people and we are a beautiful people.
Thank you for listening to UndocuTalks. Thank you for tuning in for season one, our first season, and for making us successful, connecting with us across our many platforms. I'd like to thank our contributors for today's show, Julio Molina, Rosy Evelyn Lima de Padilla, Nancy Canales, Frank Berlanga Medina, Alejandro Mendiz Rivera, Froilan Orozco. And they couldn't join us today, but they are definitely contributing to our show, Melissa Garcia and Cindy Nava. And I have been your host for today, Rafael Martinez. Thank you, and stay tuned for season number two coming to you in August.
And remember, everybody, it's the last Monday of every month.
Follow us at UndocuTalks on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.